Wasabi Wallet 2.0 coordinator fees. With Wasabi Wallet 2.0, you will pay a flat 0.3% coin join fee. 2.0 will have a feature called private revenue sharing. It enables revenue sharing with other projects deciding to implement coin joins without compromising users' privacy. Flats don't pay. There will be a minimum amount from where we'll start charging coordinator fees. Remixes will be free. Transaction outputs one hop from CoinJoin shall also not pay. How so? We must do this to be able to charge a flat fee. It'd be awkward if the immediate post-mix change would have to pay coordinator fees. But we cannot differentiate between the change and the active output. This means if your buddies are using Wasabi Wallet, then you will not pay coordinator fees at all after the bitcoins you got from them. This also means every Bitcoin user is finally using Bitcoin anonymously. With Wasabi Wallet coin joins, nobody will pay the coordinator fees anymore. Bitcoin privacy shall be free at last. That's very interesting.
Everything will be free.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, right? So let's unpack that. How about that?
Yeah, sure. So how did this came about, this idea that that you plan to do with 2.0?
Mm-hmm. So regarding the fee models, the only thing that I was trying to concentrate it is to make as simple as possible. And the idea is that if we would be able to say that Wasabi Wallet coordinator fees are going to be 0.3%, then it's going to be as simple as possible. People will be able to understand it, right? Because the current one, what do you say when someone asks you what is the fee for the current coin joins? Or you're gonna say something, well, it's a difficult computation where you multiply the anonymity set that you gained on your coin by with 0.00003%, and then what you're going to get in the end is all about it's going to be 0.3%. So this is very complex, right? It would be much better if we would be able to say 0.3. And that's it. And that's how users can manage their expectations much, much better. This is the idea. Now, there was also another requirement here, which is we want to be able to do private revenue sharing with other projects. This means we had to figure out such a way of identifying how much a service has been used for coin joining without actually identifying anything about the inputs and the outputs. So we should not be able to violate the privacy of our users because of this. It's not quite an easy problem to solve, but we were very lucky because Wabi-Sabi, the CoinJoin implementation, the CoinJoin schema that is powering Wasabi 2.2 is actually Xiaomi and eCash. So we can use it as a Xiaomi and eCash. That means we can actually get this kind of Wabi-Sabi coordinator fee credentials and combine and break them down, and it will end up in the end that the coordinator is not going to know any information except that there was an anonymous user at one point that has proved to us that he has mixed. He has paid, let's say, $5 of coordinator fees altogether. We have no idea of the time frame. It might have been the last hour or the last month, right? And then it also says that, hey, I am actually a Chainkase user, where Chainkase is a software that is also using the Wasabi coordinator. Therefore, we can do this freely. Well, you know, this is the boring part. The more exciting parts are the consequences of the first objective, which is that we want to make the fee as simple as we can. And maybe there are more to talk about that. I might have, yeah.
No, sure, go on.
Yeah, so I'm just seeing a lot of people joining to the research club today. I was wondering if anyone wants to say hi. Well then, back to the coordinator fees. How would you like to progress?
So basically, how does the fees are changing compared to the current implementation in Wasabi 1.0?
So, in average, the fees are going to come out the same amount, but in this case with Wasabi 2.2, you are paying the fees, the 0.3%, after the amount that you receive to your Bitcoin wallet. That's the high level change there. The implication is that remixes are going to be free and transaction outputs, those are one hop away from the mixes, are also going to be able to participate in coin joins without paying coordinator fees. Why? How would that make sense? What does it mean? Let me see. Do you, Carol, do you understand the part that, why do you think we have to let people go free one hop after the coin joins? Why is it not enough to let people to not pay only for remixes?
Well, it makes more sense because if you're spending your coin, you have unmixed change from a transaction, which will be rather inconvenient to merge that coin with another amount. So this way you're just able to, again, mix through Wasabi 2.0 because it has, you know, variable amount mixing. So this way you keep having the same privacy benefits what you had previously when you spent the coin. Am I right?
Imagine that you did a mix and then you did a coin join and then you want to make a transaction. You send 5 Bitcoin to me. Now, the thing about Bitcoin is that when you make a transaction, it usually is going to generate a change output. So you send 5 Bitcoin to me and there will be a change output of 2 Bitcoin back, going back to you. And that change output lost its anonymity in a sense that now I know that that is your change output. Therefore, you will have to mix that change output. And if we would charge after mixing that change output, then it wouldn't be a flat fee anymore.
Yeah, it makes sense because the fees would keep adding up and you would keep losing money when you're remixing.
So the question is, how do you know which one was the change output and which one was mine?
You don't?
Exactly. You don't know that. And what does that mean? What's the consequence of that?
Bitcoin becomes anonymous this way?
So the consequence of that is that we will have to accept both outputs because we cannot differentiate between the change. So we will have to make both outputs free. And although at the beginning we thought this is a bug, it would be best to fix it somehow. Later we realized this is not a bug. This is a feature.
A feature?
A feature. Because what this means is that if you're using Wasabi and you send me money, then I am going to be able to mix that money without paying coordinator fees.
That's insane.
That's insane. Because then there will be a network effect of there would be an incentive of getting your buddies to CoinJoin, to use Bitcoin in a private way. And, well, that is something.
So, like, the network effect would grow as large as let's say, everybody would be using Wasabi Wallet, implying that, you know, there will be something to, you know, CoinJoin later with hardware also. Then everybody could have, like, anonymous outputs that they can spend whenever they want or hold on to.
Yeah, exactly. And even more, because if everyone is using Wasabi coin joins all the time, that means Wasabi will have zero income anymore because the adoption is 100%. Therefore, every Bitcoin transaction will be either a coin join or one hop from a coin join. Therefore, Wasabi won't be charging anything anymore, right?
What implications does this have for chain analysis companies?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's the same implications as adoption of CoinJoin, right? Or adoption of proper privacy technologies. Let's be more specific. And that means Chainalysis won't be able to read the chain and to read some metadata from the chain. They will not go out of business though, because there will always be things, that information that they can gain from other sources, right? Like, I don't know, they are crawling websites and see the addresses that people share on Twitter or Reddit or something like that. So there will always be other kinds of data leaks, but at least the currency would be anonymous and private and fungible. So they would have to look for other ways to do their detective work. Or do you guys have any other thoughts to this?
This is just insane, like, thinking about it, like, how you just sold Bitcoin privacy here with this whole thing. It amazes me to this day.
I mean, it's not solved until it's adopted, right?
I mean, in theory, it checks out, but yeah, you have to go through the initial hoops of adoption. That's for sure. But once, you know, users start figuring out that they can remix for free and have privacy on demand whenever they want, once they just, you know, mix their coins for one time, and that's it. If they continue remixing afterwards, then all their outputs will be private. And then they will be, you know, going into these free remix loops, what I would call, and that will allow them to, you know, keep having private coins.
Yes, exactly. It's you know, from another point of view, you can think about this, like, when Wasabi becomes too big of a monopoly, then it naturally builds itself down, right? As soon as it becomes like a middleman, it builds itself down organically, very slowly, as adoption completes CoinJoin adoption happens on Bitcoin network.
How do you see? So let me steer this down a bit. The tweet storm also included something about private revenue sharing. Would you want to share a few words about it?
I could, but I already did. In the beginning, I was talking about private revenue sharing. Okay. I might have went into the technicals too much, so you guys missed the point. But the idea is that other services, other wallets, other software can integrate coin joins, and they can integrate themselves into the Wasabi coordinator. So the anonymity set, so they don't have to start from zero, right? And we can actually share our revenue with them in a way that doesn't compromise privacy of our users or their users. So this is a double-edged sword, right? Because let's imagine that what's the most popular Bitcoin wallet out there? What do you think?
Electrum? Bitcoin Core?
Yeah, let's go with Electrum. Electrum. If Electrum integrates Wasabi, and Electrum is so much larger than Wasabi, and most of the volume is coming from Electrum, then that means the privacy of Wasabi users would get worse, because Electrum sends your Bitcoin addresses to random Electrum servers who you have no idea who they are, and therefore they know the links between your addresses. Therefore, they can de-anonymize your coin joins, right? So Electrum's privacy model relies on the hope that the Electrum node that you are connected to is honest. And that's not a good enough thing for Wasabi users. It might be good enough for Electrum users, but we'll have to be very, very careful in partnering with Electrum, for example, in the sense that if they coin join too much, then they might ruin the privacy of our users. But on the other hand, if Chainkase integrates Wasabi, which is actually Chainkase is a Wasabi fork, so there is no privacy leak there, but let's say a wallet that has a huge privacy leak, like Samurai wallet that sends the Xbox to their servers. And if Samurai joins to the Wasabi coin joins, and if the Samurai users are not that many compared to the Wasabi coin join users, which we can see from public data, so it's a fair assumption, then the Wasabi users would still be fine, right? So anyway, this is just a side note here that you have to be careful.
But what if you're connecting with your Electrum wallet to your own server, your own node? What then?
Well, so look, if Electrum integrates Wasabi, then we can assume that it's not going to only integrate it to their full node stack, right? They don't even have a full node stack. So they will integrate it into their Electrum, and we will have to assume that most people who are using Electrum aren't running a full node. It's a very fair assumption, because there are like 40 Electrum nodes out there, right? Or something like that.
Right. What about, let's say, something like Spectre?
Mm-hmm. That would be the perfect scenario, right? Because Spectre can only be used with a full node. And with a full node, you download the whole blockchain. And when you need to figure out, when the wallet needs to figure out how much money you have, then it actually gets that information locally from the disk, because you have the whole blockchain, all the transaction, Bitcoin transactions that have ever happened. So that would be an ideal integration, yes.
What about light wallets, like, for example, Sparrow Wallet?
Mm-hmm. I believe what Sparrow does is, okay, you can connect to it with full node, but we cannot assume that that's the default way of using Sparrow, because it isn't. I think the default way of using Sparrow is Electrum servers, although not the same setup as Electrum does it, because with Electrum, you connect to random servers. I believe with Sparrow, you are connecting to servers that Sparrow is trusting, right? Now, is it more private than Electrum's model? I'm not quite sure. It is different. The thing here is that the servers that users are connecting to are publicly known. I think all of them publicly known. There might be some pseudonymous developers. The point is that that's also dangerous. But on the other hand, since Sparrow's volume wouldn't be huge, it would be okay if Sparrow integrates, because it should not significantly affect the Wasabi wallet users' anonymity, right? So as long as Sparrow is not a substantial amount in the mixes, then we should be fine.
So let's say your Wasabi's adoption gets really, really high, and almost every transaction mixes, and maybe some extra stuff feature gets added into Wasabi, then would Bitcoin Core adopt Wasabi coin joins at some point?
That's a good question. I believe they wouldn't. So regarding Wasabi's system, Wasabi has a server coordinator. Unlike most servers in the world, this server is not a trusted server. It's not a trusted third party. It's an untrusted third party. This means you don't have to trust in us. You don't have to trust in the company that has created Wasabi. The only thing that you have to trust the server is with availability. So if the server goes down, then it won't be available. But you don't have to trust with privacy nor security. Now, Bitcoin Core has a different philosophy from this, and you know, I believe that maybe that's right for Bitcoin Core, that they want to avoid every single central point, right? You cannot have a system that has a server around it. Actually, funny thing, Bitcoin Core was working that way in a sense that the bootstrapping of Bitcoin Core, so the clients to find each other on the network happened through an IRC server, right? Satoshi implemented it that way. Later on, this bootstrapping problem is really difficult. Later on, what they have now is that there are Bitcoin Core developers. Those seeds are hard-coded into Bitcoin Core, and that's how the people find that's how new users, new Bitcoin Core users, find the other Bitcoin nodes on the network through these hard-coded servers, basically. And so going back to your question, I don't think they would accept anything that has to do anything with any server. So I don't think that's gonna happen. Maybe later. You know, but this is something important, that some people think that Wasabi is a single point of failure, and if Wasabi closes down the shop, then that's the end of Wasabi. But that's very far from the truth. The software was built in a way so the server can run anonymously, and the people who are using the software won't have to trust the server. Therefore, if Wasabi shuts down the door, It's going to be a guacamole. It's going to be many, many other anonymous, maybe not anonymous entities, start running Wasabi coordinators and fight it out with marketing. And so the Bitcoin's privacy is solved even if Wasabi goes under, right?
Yeah, but no par that. Sorry, this is Mr. Hodel. But the whole point of CoinJoin is that you need liquidity. So if there's thousands of Wasabis running and everyone has to share different liquidity, that's not really that good.
Yeah, exactly. There should be a transitory period when we figure out who's the best, the market basically decides who's going to be in the coordinator wars.
Napar, Carol told me that there's going to be mixing. You can mix change. And if there's not, it's not going to be a common denominated pool. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. So it is going to be a common denominated pool, but not in a way that's
So there's going to be many of them. There's not going to be one zero. Okay, that still doesn't. Carl, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. When you're having a common denominated coin join, and when you go to spend from that UTXO is going to have history. So, like, if you spend that one UTXO with your cocaine dealer, that UTXO is always going to have history of you spending that UTXO with that cocaine dealer. What you could do is you could use that UTXO with your cocaine dealer, but that's all you could do. Like, you know, like, you have to understand, like, that's the... Well, in my opinion, that's the problem with common denominated coin joins. That's why with Join Market, you mix exactly what you need. If you need 0.15624, you mix 0.15624 or somewhere close enough where you get a change, it's meaningless. You could just burn it. But I mean, so you, how many pools are you thinking you're going to have?
So there are denominators, but it's not similar to the things that we have right now. It works in a way that many inputs participate in a coin join, right? And everyone knows the input amounts, those are participating in the coin join. And based on all the input amounts, every single user derives likely denominator tors, and it actually, they end up being creating coin joins those have no changes or very few. So instead of 100 people having changes, there will be only 5, something like that. So it's not going to generate actually change. It is not generating already changes.
You're talking about the coin join. I'm not talking about the coin join. I'm talking about after I do my coin join, like say I mixed with 30 rounds and I'm looking to spend that, you know, the coin join UTXO, that change, that specific change, like when I go to spend with the merchant.
Yes. Okay. That's good too. So that change will get an anonymity score of 1, meaning it will have to be mixed. Right.
Right. So what I'm saying is that how do you get a pool to mix that exact amount? That's the whole point. Like it's not the coin join mix change. It's the when you go to spend with the merchant mix change the problem. Which is it's not like anything to do with Wasabi. It's just that's what you get when you have common denominated coin joins. Like you're gonna have a UTXO that eventually when you need to spend it, you're gonna have history with that UTXO. Unless you could remix it again. So I mean sorry, I got kids here running around. Good work, man. I'm excited to try this out.
All right. Well, thanks, Hoda. I think the only thing I would like to say that there are no changes. When you mix the change, then that will be unlikely that mix is going to give you any change.
Not the mix, Napar. When you go to spend with the merchant...
So he's talking about the one hop solution, you know, that when you pay the merchant and you have your change, then now you can remix again for free. How does that work? How do you get the denominator for that amount? Do you get a denominator for that amount? Or how do you get that remixed?
You can break down that change input again into, let's say, multiple standard denomination outputs.
Yeah, from what I understand, you know, if there's a pool close enough with the amount that you have changed, then you can mix in that pool, which is great. But you still have to manually mix that yourself. Like, you know, you can't. It's not going to mix the change for you. How do you know if it's like? How does Wasabi even know that you're spending with somebody else and you're not spending to yourself? You don't. Like, you're going to have to mix that change yourself.
Wasabi doesn't know.
There are no pools. It's like arbitrary inputs come in and outputs are equalizing. I know it sounds like magic, but that's how it works. Arbitrary inputs go in and equal amounts come out.
All right. Let me walk this through. I do all my mixes with Wasabi. I know I have, you know, I mixed it with 100 rounds. There's a 0.005 clean, fresh UTXO that I need to spend 0.02 from. When I go to spend that 0.02 with my cocaine dealer, I'm going to get change back, yeah?
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so with that change back, with zero, say I get change back 0.015, let's say. I'm going to have to remix that 0.015, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, but you do it without coordinator fees.
You have to do it on your own, right?
No. It does it automatically, but I think it doesn't matter. Go on.
So I have that change, and when I go spend that change, it goes, where does that change go?
Into the mix.
Into the mix. So like any amount of change will go back into a mix?
Yes.
Well, not any amount. There are edge cases, right? But yes, generally, yes.
How does that get coordinated? Like with the maker-taker model, I take the exact amount that I need. How does it work in this case?
So how does the mix?
How does it change? Okay, so, like I'm changing. Like, you know, when I go to spend and that change that I get, how do you coordinate that change into a mix? Like, who am I mixing with?
Automatically in the next coin join round, it will get mixed, your change.
The next coin join, but okay, now, how do, like, you know, there's a different amounts that I have in my change than everybody else, right? Or, like, how does that work? That's what I don't understand. Like, how do you, okay, there's a next coin join round, but if it's a common denominated coin join round, how does my exact change get mixed? Or does it get mixed like coin?
You know, there's in one round, there's multiple different denominations at the same time. In one transaction, there will be multiple denominations.
All right.
All in the same transaction.
Okay, so in one. Okay, so there's multiple people. So you have 0.1s, 0.5s, 0.005s.
Yeah.
You're mixing with the people depending on how much they're. Okay, but you're so. As long as you have someone else coin joining that amount, then it'll get mixed with that person that's in that round, right? I'm assuming?
It will. Let me give you an example. It's a simplified one. So take 10 Satoshi, and let's say the denominations are powers of 2. In that case, you can break down the 10 Satoshi to powers of 2. That would be 8 and 2. So for a 10 Satoshi input, no one else have 10 Satoshi input, you will get an output of 8 and an output of 2. And there is a high likelihood that other people will have output of 8 and output of 2.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see what you're trying to do. All right, okay. When can we start trying it? When are you going public with us?
You can already try it if you want to mess around with the code. But the next release is actually a public testnet release, so you can wait for that too. Hopefully it's in a month. Maybe two. I at this point, I don't even know how to estimate things.
I got it. All right, sounds good.
All right.
Maybe you want to say anything else about it that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, I think this is really big because it bothered me for, at the beginning of Wasabi, I wanted to do this in a way that that the project can live off of donations. When I kind of realized that that's not going to happen because the donations were not really coming in, then that's where we're moved on to a monetizing model, and you know I really don't want to end up being a huge monopoly bureaucracy that everyone hates, because that tends to happen after people become successful, after companies become successful. And I think this is a very good kill switch mechanism, that if Wasabi would ever become so big that it will have complete monopoly, then it naturally would make coin joins to be free. Of course, it's a very long road until then, but I'm happy that there is something that even in this way would limit our power, right?
Very interesting. Maybe I have one more question. What consequences does this hold for competitors?
It makes them obsolete.
Well, I mean, so first of all, let's define the competitor. In my opinion, our competitor is the custodial Bitcoin projects. Probably our main competitor is Coinbase itself, because there are two competing visions for the future of Bitcoin. One is that it's gonna play nice with the existing financial system, and people are gonna get rich, and at least we get digital scarcity. But people won't be sovereign. They won't have their freedom. They don't have their freedom to choose. They don't have their freedom to take responsibility for their own coins. And that's a very likely scenario, that Bitcoin can really go that way. But we say that's not our vision. Our vision is that people are going to take responsibility for their own finances. They will use non-custodial services. And that's something that many Bitcoin companies have. But our vision goes even a step further, that we say that it does not only have to be non-custodial, it does not only have to provide scarcity, it also have to provide fungibility, because imagine a world where everyone can spy on other people's finances, because if we don't fix the fungibility of Bitcoin, then that's the world where we are going to live, right? We are already living in that world. It's just the information is well contained. The information is well contained in Chainalysis Gardens, Chainalysis companies. They know what we are doing with our Bitcoins. I mean, they don't know what I'm doing because I'm using Wasabi, but they know what most of the Bitcoiners are doing. Now, it will only take a single leak of one Chainalysis company or a single open source Chainalysis company to make the terrific amount of information they have public. And yeah, so we have some kind of knowledge blindness here. It would be much, much, much better if money would work as oxygen. Anyone would have access to it, and anyone would have equal access to it. It would be just a boring tool that just works. That's what we want to do with money. Make it boring. Rafa, you also had some interesting thoughts on this previously. Would you mind to share it?
Yeah, hopefully you guys can hear me. Well, my connection is pretty bad.
Yes.
But I was wondering if it actually makes overall for people, like, that it's better to receive coins from Wasabi, because then you don't have to pay the coordinator fees for actually making those coins private. And in some sense, does it break fungibility if Wasabi coins get priced even a little bit higher because they don't have to pay the future coordinator fees?
That's a good question. Does it break fungibility or does it restore it? Because
I mean, I'm not sure. Then again, like, I'm not sure if UTXOs can ever be fungible.
Yeah, so one Satoshi UTXO will never be equal to five Satoshi UTXO, right?
No, but that's a different thing. But even one Satoshi UTXO might not be equal to another one Satoshi UTXO because of some whatever reason people give it to. But, well, maybe one Satoshi is not a practical example.
Well, what does fungibility mean? It means indistinguishability. If you consider two coin-joined coins versus two coins those are not coin-joined, there are much less differences between the two coin-joined coins compared to the number of differences to the two not coin-joined coins, because the not coin-joined coins will have a very long history, but the coin-joined coins are just coins. Those came out of coin-joins. For practical purposes, they are actually fungible. So if you think about it, as Wasabi makes coins more and more and more similar to each other, more and more indistinguishable from each other, that's how you're actually realizing fungibility. And the only practical difference between two coin-joined coins will eventually be only the amount and nothing else, really.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, in the long run, if everything will be just coin-joined coins, then, yeah, no problem.
Cool.
I have one question, though.
Yeah, sure, go on.
In this far-fetched scenario where everybody is using, like, Bitcoin anonymously and nobody is going to pay the coordinator fees, how would the coordinator survive after that?
So, imagine that world. In that world, Wasabi is going to be in a position that is unthinkable as of today, but that position is going to be very, very strong. So if Wasabi is not able to come up with other ways of generating value to its customers, then you know, with such a backwind, with such a that's a huge opportunity to be there, right? And there are so many ways to make money and survive in that position, even though it won't rely on the coordinator fees anymore. But I don't know, doing other services, hopefully similarly unique and variable services. Does it make you nervous? It's okay if it makes you nervous, right? It's kind of like a direct attack on your salary, but you know, it's better this way.
It does not really make me nervous. I'm just like trying to see how, like, at that point, then CoinJoin will be just a free service from this coordinator, as far as I understand.
Yes, CoinJoin shall be free at last.
Well, that's end of the show, and I don't even know what the hell to think. This is crazy. Free coin joins. You pay only once, and then it's just free and privacy, and then, like, what the hell? Well, I don't know what to think. This is crazy. I probably Bitcoin haven't seen, or not even gonna see anything like this for a very long time. Like, bulletproof, so the hell gonna put this into Bitcoin Core? Never gonna get into it. Or what else is there? Confidential transactions. Nuts, literally. Seems Bitcoin is getting privacy now for free. Literally. God. Took us long enough. Well, anyway, that's all for today. Hope you guys enjoyed the pod, as I did. And hope to see you guys next time. Bye-bye.